everything to me. You're everything to me. You're my peace. You're my peace. You're everything to me.
You're everything to me.
Joy and sorrow.
Joy and sorrow.
You're everything to me.
You're everything to me.
Hope for tomorrow.
Hope for tomorrow.
You're everything to me.
You're everything to me.
Everything. So we call you
Master,
Savior.
Savior.
I call him Ruler.
Ruler.
Redeemer.
Redeemer.
How many know he'll be your shelter?
Shelter.
He'll be your provider.
Provider.
How many ever needed to be delivered? He'll be your deliverer.
Deliverer.
Oh, and he'll be your healer.
Healer.
Come on and come on, call him Father.
Father.
He'll be a father to the fatherless. Call him Father.
Father.
Somebody call him Father.
Father.
In the midnight hour when you need somebody else to hold you, Father.
Savior.
Hey, Jesus.
Jesus.
Call his name. Jesus.
Jesus.
In the midnight hour, call him Jesus.
Jesus.
Oh, when you can't get nobody else on the phone, call him
Jesus.
Hey, he'll be a healer, Jesus.
Jesus.
Jesus. Jesus.
Jesus. Jesus.
Anybody ever called him? Call his name, Jesus.
Jesus.
He's a healer. He's a provider, Jesus.
Jesus.
Come on and worship him, the Almighty God, Jesus.
Jesus.
Don't be afraid. Call his name, Jesus.
Jesus.
Call him. Call him, Jesus.
Jesus.
If you need some chains broken off your life, just call him.
Jesus.
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 Jesus. Jesus.
Jesus. Jesus.
Don't worry about your neighbor calling him. Call him Jesus.
Jesus.
Jesus. Oh, we call your name Jesus.
Jesus.
Hallelujah, Jesus. We bow before your throne. We bow before your throne. We bow before your throne. Come on and bow your hearts before him. Say,
bow before the throne.
Come on, bow
before your throne.
Come on and humble yourself right now and bow.
Bow before your throne.
Come on, bow before your throne.
Bow before your throne.
We bow before your throne, Jesus.
Bow before your throne.
Come on and take this posture of worship and bow before.
Bow before your throne.
Come on and worship him. Bow before his throne.
Bow before your throne.
Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Bow before
his throne.
Bow before your throne.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus.
Bow before your throne.
Come on, take this opportunity to make your request known before.
Bow before your throne.
Bow before. Bow before.
Bow before your throne.
He's here right now. Bow before the throne.
Bow before your throne.
Bow, bow.
Bow before your throne.
Bow, bow, bow.
Bow before your throne.
Hallelujah. Come on and continue to worship him. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Thank you,
Hallelujah.
Jesus.
Hallelujah.
You owe the bow. Thank you, Jesus. You owe the bow your hearts. He says, rend your hearts and not your garments. Bow that. Thank you, Jesus. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, I pray this morning that you will get yourself some honor. That you will teach me as you teach the people. It is so. So it is, and so shall it be. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. The title of our message this morning is, Consider Him That Endured Such Contradiction of Sinners. Consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners. Consider him. Think about Jesus. Who endured contradictions of sinners. You know, when you get your life together, the enemy, well, let me rephrase that. When you make up your mind to be saved, the enemy, you know, he attacks you. But that's not why he comes with such an assault against you. See, once you really get saved, he can't take that back. You got to get that back. Hello? He can't take that back. He can't take that. You got to get that back. However, once you get saved and the Lord begin to use you, then the enemy sends out an all-out assault. See, you know, when you saved and you just quiet and you open your mouth and you just go on about your business, he ain't worried about that. No, he ain't worried about that. Well, I'm saved, and, you know, you're still on your job. You don't tell anybody. It's all right. You know, my job, I remember when I really got saved. I'm talking about when I sold out, stopped being religious. Hello? See, I can recognize religion. I can recognize that. But I can also recognize when you really get saved. Been there, done that. Been there, done that. So, when I really got saved, the enemy, he really didn't mess with me, but some of my friends that I thought were my friends, they cut me loose. They ain't dealing with him no more. And look at, and how they did it was, they just don't call you. Just don't come by. Huh? Man, what I done to him? Nothing. He just don't want what you got. But the assault came, I said, when I really sold out. And the Lord began to use me. And how I began to allow the Lord to use me on my job, I was walking down the sidewalk, 5, 6, 7 o'clock in the morning. You know, I'm saved, but I wouldn't tell you. I'm just trying to live saved. I'm not really a witness. If you ask me, I'll say, yeah, I'm saved. But I got a call one morning, and I stood over a man. And when I stood over this man, I watched this man die. And it forever changed my life. It forever changed who I was. No, he wasn't shot. Nobody beat him up. He was a young man about my age. Right there at Gulf Fair and Pearl. On the right-hand side of the sidewalk, I stood over. And the Spirit of the Lord says, as this man was laying there, he said, the breath of life is leaving him now. I thought I was talking to myself. So I stood over him. Excuse me. Excuse me.
Thank you, Jesus. So as I said, I was walking. I got this call, and I saw this man. He wasn't injured. Nobody had shot him. He wasn't cut. He was about my age. He was laying on the sidewalk. And the Spirit of the Lord said to me, "The breath of life is leaving him now." I thought I was talking to myself, but he left. I followed him, his rescue wagon, and sure enough, they did everything they could to save him, but his time was up. When I got home that morning, about 8, I had to repent. And I had to repent for not sharing the gospel as the Lord led me, for not moving in the Great Commission. Our Great Commission is to go. I wasn't sharing Christ. So now that I began to share Christ, a different thing happened. See, I said that when I was saved, nothing really happened except for friends. You know, they didn't want it, so they stopped hanging out. You know, every party that would happen, help me, Holy Ghost, every party that would take place, you know, they'd invite me. Party over here, I was there. That's been I was religious.
But when I got really saved, I don't know when the last time somebody told me they were having a party. They must have just kicked my number out their phone. But anyway, other than just being by myself, I really wasn't getting any attacks. But the attacks came when the Lord began to use me to his glory. Then I began to tell people about Christ. That's where some of you are. You think that your attacks are coming just because you've been saved and blah, blah, blah. No, it's not. It's because you begin to share the gospel. Now, I'm not talking about the people who continue to go back willfully in sin and do certain things. See, sometimes we can bring stuff on us. Hello? Hello? You keep dropping a hammer on your feet, see what happened to you. I'm not talking about that. No, I'm not talking about that. Some of us go through some stuff that because we're sharing the gospel, look like everything is coming against us. But you know what? That's because you don't know the word. You can't fight back. He said, my people perish for lack of knowledge. Hello? If you don't have the knowledge to fight back, then you got to get beat up. Hello? Come on, some of us never come to Sunday school. We sure ain't coming on Wednesday. You can cancel that. And because we don't know the word, we can't fight back. Don't you know that the Lord hastened to perform his word, not your feelings? He don't run out there and tell you, oh, wait, you feel this way, let me run. No. The Bible said he can be touched by the feelings or infirmities. I mean, he feels what we feel, but he moves off of his word. And not your made-up word either. Don't twist the scripture and God got to fulfill it. Don't think so. Hello? Don't think that's going to happen for you. See, some of us, you know, we won't read the word, and so we do. We hear different people say different things, and we won't read it. And some of us, you know, we get so deep to we ain't no earthly good. Just use the English language. Get you a Webster dictionary. Look the word up. First of all, learn the full gospel, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Meet Jesus. Hello? Just meet Jesus. Meet Jesus. And like in Luke, he will open your understanding that you might understand the scripture. Get there first. For God so loved the world. That's right. Huh? Keep reading that till you get it. Till you get it. Come here, Henley. Stand here. This is my only son. Now, I've got a choice. Either let you die and go to a devil's hell, or give him to y'all. What man gonna do that? That's why I call him the only wise God that gave his only begotten son as a ransom for our life. We were prisoners. We were held captive. So I said, I ain't giving my son. Y'all in trouble. But God, he loves you so much until you bankrupt heaven. He said, go out there and die for them. So if God gave his only begotten son as a ransom for your life, then you know what? That means that he'll give you everything else you need. But you got to seek him. You got to get to know him. You can't con God. I told you, God don't want no part-time lovers. You can't tiptoe up on him and con him. He ain't no sugar daddy. Get that CD from Wednesday night service. God ain't no sugar daddy. You can't con him. God, I tell you what, if you give me a car, I'll serve you. If you give me a house, huh? If you put money in my bank account, huh? If you do this for me, I need a hairdo, God. I just want to feel good today, God. If you do that, you said we're trying to con the Lord. You didn't die for God either. So let's get that straight. And you didn't die for Jesus. Jesus died for you. Hello? So God don't need you to defend him, and Jesus certainly don't need you to defend him. So whatever you say about Jesus, that's between you and whoever's listening. Oh, you got to learn to walk away. The message is entitled, Consider Him That Endured Such Contradiction of Sinners. Oh, they're going to contradict you after a while. Wait a minute. Just walk away. Just walk away from some of this stuff. If there's no edification in this, I'm not going to waste all my time talking to him. Turn to Isaiah 14 and 12. There, look here. I was listening to my wife talking about having an issue with the music. And the organist hadn't got here. And then I started thinking, well, I know why. Because this is where we're headed now, in the first top end of this scripture. You know, the reason why you can't praise him is because praise goes on inside with the music. It kind of links with the music. See, we had the praise and the worship. See, and that always go before the battle. Huh? Yeah, that always go before the battle. So they try to kill the music first. Uh-huh. Yeah, he assaults the music. Yes, sir. He takes the melody out your heart first. Yeah. If you read your Bible, you'll find out that as they were going to battle, the praise team went first. Huh? The worshipers, the singers went first. And after that, look here, them arrows came flying out the sky. Swords, the battle. See, if you really want a healing, if you really want a deliverance, if you really need something for the Lord, first, you got to praise him. You got to worship him. He says, sing unto the Lord a new song. Huh? Oh, you can make melody in your heart. We might say you don't sound that well, but God doesn't say that. Just sing unto him. So when you enter into his gates, like coming through the threshold of this church, soon you step across the threshold, it'll be a praise in your mouth. Because you came with an expectation. See, some folks, they come in and sit on their hands and say, all right, if I don't hear a good song, then it ain't a good message. Huh? I ain't moving. And some of us, you know, we just try to ride the wave. We try to ride the wave. Now, those are the ones that need to get the CD entitled, Why Are You Here? What are you looking for? Who are you looking for? Huh? Are you looking for a wife? Are you looking for a husband? Are you looking for money? What are you looking for? We're here for Jesus. What are you for? See, as you find Jesus, whatever else you need, you're going to get it. Financially, you'll get it. Health, you'll get it. Deliverance, you'll get it. Understanding, you'll get it. If you're going through mentally, he'll work it out in your mind. The Bible said that the chastisement of our peace is upon him. Oh, whatever you need, if you're looking for Jesus, just look for Jesus. Just look for Jesus. Anyway, watch this here. Isaiah 14 and 12 says, How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? Now, everybody know Lucifer is the devil. If you ain't know, you just look it up in that little dictionary if you don't open. Yeah, he don't want you to know that he who he is anyway. Oh, cute name, Lucifer. Just call him devil. Cute Lucifer. Listen, how art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend unto heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also among the mount of the congregation in the size of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the size of the pit. They that see thee shall narrowly look upon thee and consider thee, saying, Is this the man that made the earth to tremble, that did shake kingdoms, that made the world as a wilderness and destroyed the cities thereof, that he opened not the house of his prisoners? So you sitting in prison, amen? Listen here now. See, the devil can't be like God. I mean, can't be God. But he said, I'm going to be like him. Oh, he'll give you a house, I told you. He'll give you a car. He'll give you money. He'll give you whatever he takes to get you. Oh, he'll give you that woman. He'll give you that man. How you like him? That's how he'll send him. Hello? Oh, come on now. He know you don't like that. He ain't sending you him. You ain't got to worry about that. What he talking to me for? The devil didn't send him. He came on his own. Because the devil know you don't like him. He sent him, though. My, my, my. Tall, dark, and handsome. Tall drink of water. Yeah, the devil sent him. Uh-huh. Yeah, he sends what you like to get you off path. Some folks ride around in their fancy car. You tell them, they blessed. How can they be blessed living a sinful life and doing all kinds of abominable things? And then you get a car and tell them, oh, I'm blessed. You was already blessed when you received Christ. Huh? God said, if the evil father, you being evil, know how to give good gifts to your father, to your children. How much more your heavenly father? Huh? God said, I'm going to take care of you. He says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all those things, T-H-I-N-G-S, things, those are things, he says, shall be added unto you. God wants you to have the car. He wants you to have the house. He wants you to have the money. He wants you to have all that stuff that you're knocking yourself out with. Out for. He wants you to have that. Let me tell you this here. Did you not know that our prison system, that once again I've said plenty of times, that our prison system is filled with a lot of people who broke the law to get things? Mm-hmm. They killed a man for his things. Yesterday morning, Lord, they were throwing blows up their gateway for some Jordans. Huh? Look here. And somebody said they called $200 a piece. $200 that they didn't have to pay their light bill, but they were getting Jordans. Come on now. Just think now. Throwing blow. I mean, a great crowd showed up before the store opened. But you don't see them in church today. Huh? And they said, I need. Hello? I need. Oh, help me, Holy Ghost. I'm going somewhere here now. But watch this now. See, the devil, he don't mind that. Oh, yeah, I'm going to give him this, and then you know what? When I give him this, you're going to see I gave him this, and then you're going to want that. And then you're going to think if you ain't blessed if you don't get that. I know. Also know some folks that land out there on cardboard boxes a split second from the concrete. Yes, sir. And you know what? And they say they blessed when you drive by, hand them a meal and a cold beer. They blessed. And they don't need Jesus. Huh? They don't need that religious stuff. What they mean is it doesn't take that much to buy them. How much for your soul? How much for your soul? Huh? Come on, what she gotta look like? What he gotta look like? Huh? What it gotta look like? How much for your soul? Anyway, Lucifer says here, hey, he says, let me tell you verse 13. He says, for thou hast said in thy heart, I will ascend into heaven, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God, I will sit also on the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north, I will ascend above the heights of the cloud. He said, I'm going up. He's not going to get into heaven. He said, but I'm going up. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds, and I will be like the Most High. Ain't him, but I'll be like him. God said, you will find me when you search for me with all your heart. But if you don't search for me all with your heart, you might find something you think that's the Lord. Oh, help me, Holy Ghost. Watch this here now. But Isaiah goes on to say, yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the side of the pit. All the reason I read this part of the scripture, I want to show you something. Verse 16 is where I was headed. They that see thee shall narrowly look upon thee and consider thee, saying, is this the man that made the whole earth to tremble? that did shake kingdoms, that made the world as a wilderness and destroyed the cities thereof, that opened not the house of the prison? Help me, Holy Ghost. Only thing I want to show, I read that for one purpose, to show you that Lucifer, or y'all like to call him the devil, he don't want your soul. He don't want you. What are you going to do with your soul? If he is chained to the pit and all his power is stripped, then what are they going to do with you? Think about it. Wait a minute. The Bible says here now, they that see thee shall narrowly look upon thee. That means we're going to look, you know how we look at the corner of our eyes, and we start asking questions. Hey, is this the man? Wait a minute. I lost my soul for that? Wait a minute now. I am missing eternity with the Lord Jesus for that? Wait a minute. We're going to be a little bit upset. Them folks that miss Christ. Is this the man? My brothers, my little brother, get in a fight with a couple of fellas, came home to get me. I showed up to go. Where they at? Wait a minute, is this the guy? Wait a minute, him? Come on, you could have took him yourself. Well, let me whoop him. Wait a minute, that's what you're going to be saying. You're going to be in shock and horror. You mean all this stuff? Wait a minute. This is the man that was messing with my feelings? This is the man that was messing with my emotions? This is the man that kept me up all night? This is the man that made me a drunk and a drug head? This is the man that made me beat my wife? This the man? Wait a minute. Is this the man? Come on now, y'all got to do business here. It's got to be some business here. It had to be somebody else beside him. He don't even have no power. Yeah. He's chained to a pit and all his power is stripped. He can't even go up in heaven. He go up to the clouds. He'll send himself high above the clouds. I'm going to be like the Most High. I was watching on news the other night with all these fake purses and all this fake stuff they say around this time of year, like it's the real thing. And you know we like to get a deal, huh? We love to get a deal. So they whisper to each other when they talk. Hey, want a Louis Vuitton? Want to buy a gold chain? Mm-hmm. It ain't the real thing, see, so he can't say it out loud. I tell you what. And he lets you haggle his price from 500 to 50. Well, if that's all you got, all right. Well, that's what the enemy does to you. He ain't God. So he give you some things. He whispered to you. I got something for you. Yeah, I got a little something for you. Yes, sir. See, when you really get saved, he's angry that you got saved. But he's angry when you begin to help somebody else. Some of y'all ain't going through no battles because you know what? You're just trying to hang on to be saved. You still, every time you hit the altar, it's about you. Jesus, here I am again. Jesus, I'm hurting. Jesus, I'm going through my mind. Jesus. It's all about you. You ain't fighting no battle for Christ. God, if you just take this habit, just take it. No. If the Lord walked up to you and just took your habit, but not you wanting him to take it, but that you're giving it to him. He's a strong-arm robber. And if he take it while you sleep, he's a thief. The word said, bring ye fruits worth of repentance. Bring it to the Lord if you really want to get rid of it. Hello? And he said, how be it? This kind can only come forth. This kind can only go out through fasting and prayer. We try everything else. Some folks still on them habits because they don't want to get rid of them. They in love. Like that old song that man used to sing, when a man loves a woman, he can't keep his mind on nothing else. When a man or a woman got a habit, they going to get up and get it. 3 o'clock in the morning. Where you going? Got to have it. And you see them looking to go fulfill the habit. They got nothing to pay for it. Because they in love. You bring that thing to the Lord. And lay it at the altar. It's okay, Lord, here it is. If you got to cry, cry. Hello? Come on, some of them single women, some of y'all single women, you know, don't get mad at me. I hope I got security in here. But I'm finna say something. But some of y'all single women and single men, y'all can't be shacking up talking about y'all married. Nuh-uh. If he wants you, tell him get a ring. Get a magic marker or a ring. Draw a circle around each finger. Yeah. And because you hooked up in that soul ties, you might have to cry walking down the street when you're leaving. And if he really love you or she really love you, they're going to do the right thing. They coming. If they ain't, you had the wrong one anyway. Hello? Man, what it look like living with a woman for all these years, wasting my life? Huh? Then she gonna go marry somebody else one day. What a nut I am. Come on, think about it. Come on, think about it. Come on, woman, you gonna live in the house with this man and treat him like a husband? Honor, respect. I ain't gonna use the other word because y'all ain't obeyed nothing. Huh? But look here. Look here. But you going to lay in there with him all that time? And he going to enjoy you, and he going to say, well, cook me, well, hey, can you cook this fish? Can you cook this chicken? Then next week, you hear about him getting married to somebody else. Now you mad, want to scratch his car, burn his clothes up. How he did you and hurt your feelings. No. Well, you got to do the right thing. Here I am the second week talking about this. Amen. Amen, mother. But watch this here. Here they are, sitting here, asking, Lord, just bless me. Help me, Lord. Let me do this, Lord. Let me do that, Lord. But you living with somebody that's not your husband, not your wife, and you want God to come in blessing your mess. He ain't doing that. Woman, you ought to be on your knees praying and seeking the face of God. And so when he touch you on your shoulder, you can look up and say, devil. You had them superwoman eyes then, so you be in the supernatural spirit. So when he touch you, you say, You can see through all that flesh, devil. But if you ain't praying and fasting, you can't see him no way. You can't see him, and you can't see her. She smell good and she look good. He that findeth a wife findeth a good thing and obtain favor of the Lord. So when you've been praying and fasting, not that one. Everybody else going out, you say, I can see that. Devil. Not her. Don't you see how she look? Don't you see how she talk? You said, devil. Not that one. He that findeth a wife. So you got to get in the face of God. And the Spirit of the Lord will guide you to the right people. And you can't keep test driving the car. Otherwise, you know what? You're going to have all the mileage on you. No, I'm just being real. I'm trying to get you to be blessed. Huh? See, you almost, you like Satan said, like Lucifer said, he's going to be like the Most High. You're going to be like the married folks. You ain't going to be married. You're going to be like the married folks. Why you think that when we did the marriage and the singles prayer breakfast this year, we separate them? If you single, you shouldn't be in this marriage prayer breakfast. I don't care if you're fighting. If you're married, you married. Come to the marriage thing. If you can't stand each other, you still married. Come here. Huh? You ain't spoke to each other in 6 months. You still married. Come to the marriage prayer breakfast. But you can't be engaged some of them coming to the marriage prayer breakfast or living with each other talking about the marriage prayer breakfast. The house in each other's name talking about the marriage prayer breakfast. No, sir. God's honor the covenant of marriage. That's why the devil fights you so hard. He don't want you. Listen. Come here, Sister Sabrina. See the enemy. He doesn't care. Come here, sister. You a woman. Let me tell you something. Stand here. Turn around. Look here. See, the enemy don't mind you being close. He just don't want you to touch and agree. So you can stay in the same house. All the bills, all the babies. Hello? And all the other stress that you got to go through in marriage. But he don't ever want you to come together and agree as touching. Because if it is, you're going to stop him. Thank you, sis. That's all he want. He don't want you to do that. He'll let you do everything else that married folk do but agree. That's why you still walking, because you don't agree. I guarantee you and your wife stop that doggone arguing and fussing. Y'all be able to put your heads together and get a new car. Get a new house. Get whatever you need. You can't get it because you know what? You're fighting. Going after each other like wolves. He don't mind you being close. Do all the other stuff. You're supposed to have a different of opinion. You're supposed to have a different ideas. You come from different way, from different backgrounds. But what you do, you come together as one, as a couple, so you got to compromise. And then you got to agree. Talk about it and then agree. Oh, help me, Holy Ghost. I just gave you the nugget on that. But the enemy, Satan, he wants you to, he's a counterfeit. He looks like the real thing. He looks like the Most High God. Turn to Matthew 28:16. I just threw that out there because, you know, I was listening to y'all see how the music slowed up, you know, in the beginning of the service. That's all good. Yeah. Matthew 28:16. I'm headed somewhere. I just want to show y'all who was behind it all. Why are you going through what you're going through? Some of y'all are really old starting to witnessing. You know what? Some of y'all are going through because you're really old witnessing. But you need to know how to fight back. You got to share the gospel. You got to share the gospel. You must share the gospel. It's just that simple. Jeremiah, he got upset too. He said, I'm gonna make no more mention of your name. But he said it was like fire. Shut up in my bone. I said, I'm going to tell nobody. But I just couldn't keep it to myself. That's when you really say. Now, some of us know, like I said, we ain't living a nickel with a dog meat, so we don't want folks to know that we profess Christ. So you know, we don't want them to expose us. He professing Christ, but look how he living. She professing Christ, but look how she living. Hello? That's why I tell women, if you got an unsaved husband, don't go home and throw a revival on the edge of the bed. Go home and show him Jesus. Man, if you so saved, go home and show her Jesus. Hello? Anyway, Matthew 28:16 says, then the 11 disciples went away to Galilee into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. Listen, there is an appointment for you. Jesus wants you to do a thing. Go to a place. I tell people, When you come in this church, this may not be your church. I don't get offended when people tell me, I don't like it there, I ain't going there, blah, 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 whatever. Jeremiah 3:15 says the Lord will give you a pastor according to his heart. You need to go where you belong. That's an appointment for you. If this ain't the place for you, don't be trying to talk about us. Strap your boots up and get to stepping. Hello? Come on now. I'm looking out for you and for us. For us, because we got to hear that garbage. And for you, you killing yourself. And I am God's anointed. And he said, touch not my anointed and do my prophets no harm. And he says, for the folks that really saving the place they're supposed to be, he says, better for a millstone to be around your neck than to mess with the least of them. So if this ain't your place, instead of standing there causing all the confusion, strap your boots up and get to stepping. But when you get in the right place, you will begin to grow. Huh? Your wings begin to spread out. Listen, no man goes to the vineyard and tell the master of the vineyard where he's going to work today. God sends you to the ministry, to the church, and put you under the leaders where he can get the glory. Huh? It ain't about you. It's not about how you feel. The songwriter says, to God be the glory. So the Lord puts you in places to use you. In the Great Commission, I need you to go, but I got to strengthen you. Come on. If you're going to be a mailman, we need to send you over there where the mailman train. If you're going to be a painter, we need to send you where the painters train. Whatever it is that the Lord calling you to do, he will send you to a place to prepare you for his works. Jesus said, if I be lifted up from the earth, I'll draw men unto me. You just keep lifting up the Jesus. He's going to draw them to you, and then he's going to use you to win them. Be obedient. Watch here what he says now. He appointed them. They went into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them, and when they saw him, they worshiped him. But some doubted. Well, just like in here, some folks start worshiping, some folks start doubting. That's why I tell people, when you come to church, look straight ahead. Don't look to the left nor to the right. Hello? You look to the left, you tell me, and to the right, you see something, oh, ain't coming in. Oh, what then? And guess what, though? Then you don't get to live and get set free. And so you walk right by out of here in bondage. That's like me walking in Winn-Dixie worrying about what he got in his buggy. You know, some people do that, too. I watch them. They're in the buggy. You up and getting your study all down in your buggy. Oh, I see you getting pizza. What that got to do with you? Huh? No. You get what it is you're supposed to be getting and pay attention to what you're supposed to be doing and have your money out ready to pay. The Bible said, buy the truth and sell it not. Be ready to pay. Amen? But listen here now. Some doubted. This is when Jesus had came, he had rose, and he was talking to them. Verse 17 again, and when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, he still spoke to them, even the doubters. What a mighty God we serve. Ain't the Lord Jesus all that? Even though he know you sitting there with all that doubt, he still speak to you. He still speak. He said, listen, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Here's the key verse, 19. Go ye therefore, get up and move. Go ye therefore. That's why the enemy keep attacking you. That's why you're going through that depression. Right there. Because he don't want you to go. I told you, depressed people, when they get depressed, they curl up in bed, they will not move. And hurting folks, you got to watch them too. Now, hurt people. Hello? She always attacking you. You might want to watch her because she's going through some stuff. He always attacking you. Watch him. He going through some stuff. Like that old, elephant running through the jungle, stomping everything in sight. To the little mouse pulled his thorn out of his feet. Huh? He was in pain. Some stuff, some of y'all going through some stuff, it may be just a little something in your life that the Lord told you to get rid of it, give it up, and you refuse to do it, and now it's causing you all that pain and all that frustration. You can't get this, you can't go there, you think I'm doing this, I'm doing that, I'm doing this, and I'm all this other stuff I'm doing, but you have not been obedient. And so this little thing, this little fox is destroying your vines. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Others may, but you may not. God said, I want you to get rid of that. And you won't. He didn't tell nobody else. I told you to get rid of that. And you know what that is. I'm trying to hold somebody else accountable because you ain't got rid of that. I told you. You'd be laying up asleep. Your wife or your husband will be laying up there asleep, snowing, calling hogs, because you up all night long tossing. Looking over them, trying to elbow them every now and then to wake them up. Because you won't do what the Lord telling you to do. Hello? Come on now. Well, he did the same thing and he got, but God didn't tell him, he told you. Don't you compare your life to nobody else. God told you to get rid of that. See, the Lord will save us just like we are. Just as we'll bring all your sins. I'm a living witness. All your sins. All your problems, all your issues, bring them to the Lord. Just come. He'll save you with them. But then he'll start saying this in. Come here, brother. I got to use one more time. Watch what happens now. When you start praising God, stand right here now. Y'all, some of y'all seen the illustration before. Stick your hand up like you're praising God. When you start praising him for real and worship him for real, he start taking stuff from you. God start going into your stuff. And some folks, you know why they get their hand done? Because they don't want God to touch their stuff. Uh-uh, God, not that. And you know what? Watch this now. Because they said not that, they go no further. They go no further. That's it for them. No further. God didn't care how he came. He said, but if you be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the lands. You got to be willing and you got to be obedient. And God said, get rid of that thing. You may see everybody in the city, everybody across town, everybody in your family got the same thing. But God said he told you, not them, to get rid of it. You can go, look at, and you can walk around town telling everybody in town about what the Lord said to you. It don't mean nothing. Knowing it's not half the battle. That's that G.I. Joe stuff. They had that in the 60s, G.I. Joe. It's about knowing it's half the battle. No, it's not. And 99 and a half, it won't do. The Lord said, I'm telling you to get rid of that. So you can go tell them folks what the Lord told you. And you might feel better because, ooh, the Lord spoke to me and he told me. Ooh, the Lord spoke to me. But what you did about it? Well, I'm going to. Well, I'm trying. Well, God knows my heart. Come on, you can't judge me. I'm not judging. You told me what the Lord told you to do. Get rid of it while you still got it. Huh? Come on. He took Saul down for being king. Just for being disobedient. He said obedience better than sacrifice. See, when you don't do the little bitty tiny thing, it makes you disobedient. So all your sacrifices that you do don't mean nothing. You go and give to the poor. Go help the hurting. Go help the lost. Matter of fact, come in here and pray. But if you don't get rid of that thing that God told you to get rid of, you're going to have all them issues. What is the Lord telling you to do? What's he telling you? He said, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world. Amen. Watch this now. See, when you really start going, like I said, when you really get saved, now some of y'all say y'all saved. Now, I ain't saying you ain't saved, but I want to know why it is that they keep inviting you to the party. I ain't saying you ain't saved. I ain't going to mess with that. But why it is that you still can hang out in certain places and don't convict you. Ain't no big deal. Come on. The Bible says, "Wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate," says the Lord. I just want to know. I'm not messing with that now. You say you saved. See, when you, like I said earlier, when you really get saved, you don't have to tell your friends bye. I didn't tell mine bye. I told you, they just look in. They just threw my number in the trash. Whoop, won't be calling him. Because he saved for real. And I never remember, I never forget back in the 90s walking through the station. I heard some of the guys say that, "Hey, man, that's old Greg Harris." Yeah, they said, "Yeah, man, he on fire. He on fire for the Lord." They said, "He on fire." Then the other guy they were talking to said, "Yeah, but he going to burn out soon. He'll be all right. I'm going to burn out, then I'll be all right. When I become religious. When I begin to play the game." But I didn't become religious. You know what I said when they said that? I kept walking because they wasn't talking to me. They were talking about me. See, when people talk about me and not to me, I keep moving. They ain't talking to me. They talking to me. Let them folk talk. They talking and let them talk. They ain't talking to me. They talking about me. Now, if they talking to me, I wouldn't answer them. But they was talking about me. So I kept walking. They needed me getting in that conversation. When they said, "Hey, yeah, he all right, but he gonna be all right. He gonna burn out." But this is what I said as I, to myself, I was walking. I said, "The devil is a lie. I'm going up higher and higher." Then after that, them same guys, you know what they said? They don't want that Jesus. That's more the salvation than we want. Oh, come on, you know the kind who say it don't take all that. Wait a minute, it don't take all that. Well, if you ain't never been to heaven, how you going to tell me what it takes? Huh? Come on. Every man must work out his own soul salvation. So what you going to tell me? Hello? Hello? What you going to tell me? No. I said, no. Y'all do what y'all going to do. So after a while, they stopped talking to you. Not that you did nothing wrong. First, you know, you go through the cycle of, you know, what about, you know, what's up with that man? You know, blah, blah. But then after a while, you got to remember that Jesus says, "Lo, I am with you always." When I found out Jesus was with me, I showed up, kept on witnessing, sharing the gospel. And you know what? Some of them that ran off at their mouth, they came like Nicodemus by night. They wanted to hear the gospel and they wanted prayer for them and their families. It's a beautiful thing to see a racist man come for you to lay hands on him. Huh? Or somebody evil that you know they hate your good. You done heard every garbage they had to say about you. But now they saying, "Pray for me." You know what you do? Pray for them. Pray for them. But you got to learn to forgive. That's another reason why some of us are sick. We can't get certain things and look like nothing won't work out for us because we hadn't forgiven. And people who are hurt and hadn't forgiven, they always talking about what another person have done to them. Everywhere, everybody would listen, they talk about it. "Girl, let me tell you how he did me. Ooh, he ain't no good. Ooh, let me tell you about her. Ooh, blah, blah, blah." Well, guess what though? Bitterness only kills the person that carries it. You drink poison, you ain't kill nobody else. "Ooh, I can't believe he gave me this poison. He's so wrong, but you drinking it." You got to forgive. Some folks say, "I can't forgive. How you going to forgive? I can forgive her. How can I forgive him?" Well, that's why you're sick in your body. That's why you're sick in your mind. And that's why certain things would not work for you. Because you won't forgive. Don't you know that our faith is predicated on forgiveness? God had to forgive you. He was so angry with you, mankind. He said, "Your sacrifice has become a stink to my nostrils." He said, "I'm weary with your repentance." So he turned his back. And for 400 years, God wouldn't even talk to you, man. But he loved you, see. He loved you. He loved you. He said, I'm upset with him. And I don't want to talk to him. But I love him. I created him. I created man in my image. He said, "You know what? I'm going to give my only begotten son. He's going to be their way." So God forgave us. And you can't forgive this woman. This woman can't forgive that man. Come on. You can't forgive your son. That's your son. You can't forgive your daughter. That's your daughter. You can't forgive your husband. That's your husband. You can't forgive your wife. That's your wife. You can't forgive somebody else. The devil is a liar. That's why we suffer. We think that sickness coming from something else. You think that oppression comes from something else. It's unforgiveness. You know, I tell the story how there's some guys I really hated. Yeah, I hated them. I really hated them because of what they did to other people. And one of them got in a bad situation. And the Lord came to me and dealt with me in his spirit to me pray for him. And one of them was dying. His system was just shutting down. His brother had came to me and asked for prayer. You know what? I gave him that professional note like I was going to pray for him, but I wouldn't. Huh? Matter of fact, I reached in my pocket and gave him a tract from the other church. Yes, I did. I was standing in the hospital. The Lord's my witness. I stand in the hospital. He met me in the hall, and I don't know why I was there at Shan's, and he started telling me about his brother, how his system was shutting down. You know, when your kidneys and everything shut out, you finna get out of here. You know what I did? Instead of praying for the man, I'm going to praying for his brother, I reached in my pocket and gave him a track. Here. Called this number. Huh? That's what I said. Because I had this hate for what they did to other people. When I got home, I pulled my clothes off. I was going to go to bed. And the Lord dealt with me to pray for him. And I wouldn't. I laid down. And the Lord kept dealing with me to pray for him. All. And I was so angry. I got up and I said, "All right, God." I said, "If you want me to pray for him, but you need to know how I feel first." And I told the Lord how I felt. I showed him my heart. And then I repented how I felt. And asked me, "If you want me to pray for him, you got to heal me." And the Lord healed me. He healed my heart. And then in that bedroom, that by myself, I began to pray for them for about an hour or two. It was an excruciating prayer. Those people that are alive today. The Lord turned it all the way around. If I start calling names, you would know who they are, but I won't call names. You would know exactly who I'm is, and some people will be able to tell you about the incidents and all of that. See, you don't know who prayed for you. Huh? You don't know who you did dirty and did wrong until you had to tell the Lord, "Okay, Lord, I'm going to pray for him, but I need to let you know how I feel. And I'm going to need to be healed first. You got to heal me, Lord." And you're going to have to ask for healing because you can't carry that forgiveness no further. Unforgiveness no further. Because you need to be healed. Your situation coming up. And there's some stuff going on in your body, going on in your mind. You can't pray over your house because you have unforgiveness. Some folks run around, they're so angry they can't see straight. Huh? And so the devil just walked through their house. Yeah, I know you could do that, but see, you guys don't forgive me. You can't do that. There's got to be a freedom. A freedom. It has to be an unconditional forgiveness. Hello? You don't even, listen. You don't even have to have the conversation with them. You need to have it with the Lord. He said when he see you in the secret place, he will reward you openly. How you know? The Lord heal you because look at all the blessings that's taking place now. Come on. Come on. When I see those people, the guy now, one of them, he came to me and thanked me years later. He said, "I got to say one thing about him. He is a real man of God." I was surprised he didn't say that. For him to say that. But he thought that I went home or I prayed for him right there in the hospital. He didn't know I didn't pray for his brother in the hospital. I had to go home and have a conversation with the Lord. I wasn't going to do nothing. Some of y'all are sitting here, refuse to do nothing. I'm telling you now, you need to repent and ask the Lord to heal you and get rid of that unforgiveness so the Lord can heal you of your sickness and what you're going through. Oh, help me, Holy Ghost. Oh, I know it's a sober word, a solemn word, but you know what?
You got to let that go. That's messing your finances up. That's messing a whole lot of things up with you. Huh? Jesus says, and the Lord God says, I am the God that healest thee. He said, I heal thee. Well, why ain't healed, Lord? Because you won't release and forgive somebody else. And so because you won't release and forgive somebody else, then you, look here, then how can I help you? You blocking it up. That's a blockage there. But you got to know what this woman did to me. Well, the Lord know he was looking. Don't you know nobody can't do nothing to you unless the Lord allows it? Hello? If God don't allow it, it doesn't happen. Oh, come on. I got about 10 minutes or so. Listen here now. Listen here now. He's telling you to go, but you can't go because of all this. And you by yourself. But the Lord Jesus, I'm with you. Lord, I'm with you always. So what if he don't call you anymore? Jesus with me. This is not a game. This is not a game. And the Lord is not the great deceiver. He's not playing game with you. Talking about he's with you and he's not here. Oh, he's with you. Get off the phone. Get off Facebook. Telling all your business to strangers. I scratched myself last night. What y'all think about it? You know, yeah, I peeked at your pages. You know, folks get out there on that garbage, and look at it, that's their way of not talking. They won't talk to you personally, but they'll send you everything across the web. Well, if you're sending me that, guess what? I ain't get it, because I'm not on Facebook. You're putting all your stuff out there, all that garbage. Some folks run into the ditch, Facebooking down the road. All kind of stuff. They can't get the housework done. They can't get the work done on the job. They can't do nothing because they're rolling up and down that computer, that screen. Can't pay the bills because you know what? They got to pay for that data plan. Oh, y'all know I'm telling the truth. Huh? Come on. Don't you know that's the trick of the enemy? Listen. I mind meeting you quietly until I scratch myself, and I'm going to sit out there for everybody here. Think about what you're doing. You want to get in Facebook? Get your face in this book. Get your face here. Get your face here. If you get your face in this book, it'll teach you how to talk to your wife. If you get your face in this book, it'll teach you how to talk to your children. If you get your face in this book, it'll show you how to get delivered and get healed. Matter of fact, it gets your face in this book, it'll show you how to get rich. This book here, get your face in this book. In this book, he said, I'm going to bring you before great kings. Don't even worry about what you're going to say. I'm going to tell you what to say when you get there. In this book. See how the enemy tricks us? Consider him that endured such contradiction. See, when you start doing some of the stuff I'm telling you to do, you're gonna have some contradicting sinners. See, some folks ain't really, really delivered yet, and they don't want you to be delivered either. Hello? Yes, sir. And some folks, you know, they say they live, but they're so deep they try to drown you every time you show up. Oh, come on, it's the truth anyhow. No, you just move on. Just keep going after Jesus. He's with you. But let's hear now. A couple more scriptures, I'm done. 1 Peter 4 and 12. A few more scriptures, I'm done. Because see, some of y'all is thinking about packing up, giving up, quitting. And some of y'all ain't moved from the spot y'all was when you got saved. Because you know what? You were doing real well until the Lord said, get that up. And you ain't get up and you ain't moved since. You stuck. And some of you can't go no further because you worry about what somebody else is going to say about you. You're afraid of all that. Hello? You can't move. Sinners got you in their back pocket. You know, to kind of tell you what is on the job, what how you feel. Man, if I were you, I ain't doing that. Well, like I always tell you, I tell them to quit. Don't do it. Just quit. Huh? Other folks controlling you. But listen here now. 1 Peter 4 and 12 says, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trials." He used the word fiery. That means really rough. "Think it not strange concerning the fiery trials, which is to try you as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ," here's that preposition, if ye be reproached for the name of Christ, not for what you're doing now. See, some of us reproach for our sins, not for Christ. Some folks picking on us because of what we're doing, not for Christ. Some of us going through for by our own hands, not of Christ. He said, "But if ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye. For the spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you." Amen. The Lord is on you. On their part, he is evil spoken of. But on your part, he is glorified. "But let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's matters." Ooh-wee, I messed them up then, didn't I? Don't you let them get me, security. You stay out of other folk's business. He put you in the category as a murderer. He put you in the category with a thief. He put you in the category as an evildoer, a busybody, always in somebody else's business, always running their mouth about somebody else. Sweep around your own front door before you try to sweep around mine. Yeah, busybody people, always got something going. Listen here now, he puts you in that. "If any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. For the time is come that judgment must begin at the house of God." Woo-hoo! Listen to what he just said. Judgment is going to begin at the house of God. That means that everybody that's sitting in here, that come in church all across America, and I ain't beating up on this bill, I'm talking about all across America and the world, judgment going to begin in them houses first. Some of them houses really are God's house. That's why I tell you, look straight ahead. You're going to see some people, if you look to the left, look to the right, you may see some ungodly. Look straight ahead. Hello? Look at it. Try the word. See if it works. If it don't work, say it don't work, but it's going to work. Hello? But he said judgment going to be in there first. That means that God's going to straighten out the people that's in his house. That means you hearing the word, not doing the word. You're a deceiver. He said, "Be ye doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving yourselves." So you hear the word, you don't do the word, that means you're a deceiver. But you say, "I plan on doing it." Well, you're going to keep deceiving yourself till you make up your mind you really want to do it. What happens? The devil takes you too far and gets you too deep out to sea till you can't get back. Then he drowns you. Hello? A deceiver. You're hurting yourself. That light not paying your light bill. They're going to turn your lights off, not mine. And I live right next door to you. He said, "This thing going to happen first in the house." Huh? He said, "For the time is come that judgment must begin at the house of God, and if first, and if he said, here's the preposition again, "and if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God?" Meaning, if we gonna get a butt whooping, what they gonna get that don't obey? Period. Wow. And he said, "And if the righteous scarcely be saved." I'm talking about you really, really righteous folks out there. He said, "If you scarcely say," that means you barely got in. With all your living saved, you are scarcely saved. Wow. He said, "Where shall the ungodly and the sinners appear?" Where y'all going?
Wherefore, let him that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls. Watch this in a... In 2 Peter 5 and 6, he says, humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. He said, humble yourself, that he may exalt you in due time. He said, humble yourself. Don't walk out here with all pride and halt yourself. He said, humble yourself. God's going to exalt you in due time. And then he said, casting all your cares upon him. For he cares for you. He said, be sober. Be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, he's your adversary. As a roaring lion, walking about, seeking whom he may devour. Whom resists steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same affliction are accomplished in your brethren than in the world. Let me tell you something. You're not the only one going through that. You're not the only one going through that. No, you ain't the only one dealing with that. He said, but the God of grace, who has called you unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you have suffered a while. Let me, you may go through this thing a little while. He said, after you have suffered a while, make you perfect. Oh, ain't nobody perfect. Wait a minute. He said, make you perfect. Establish, strengthen, settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever. That means that after you suffered a while. Oh, man. That means we got to go through some stuff. After you suffered a while. Oh, we hate to hear that part. We want to jump past the suffered a while and go to the settled. Some of us want to walk out our season. She got it, I want it. That's not your season. It's her season. Wait, that's not your season. It's her season. But Lord, you just healed her. No, but it was her season to be healed, but you got a season. So you got to wait. Wait a minute, Lord, you just did this for him. It's your season to be saved. It's your season to be saved. Stop letting the devil whoop you because of those things. Hebrews 12 and 1. Hebrews 12 and 1. He said, wherefore sin we also encompass by great, about with so great a cloud of witness. He says, let us lay aside every weight.